Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover, hear their personal stories, find out how they became so successful,
learn their secrets, and join them at the top.
Get seriously buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswan.
Hey everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Here we go with part two with Dave Sebastian Williams. Are you ready?
So I want to get back to the business thing here.
Yes.
So for people out there, I mean, because I really feel that today, you know, years ago you can get away with maybe not knowing the too much of the business side and you know, just walk into somebody's office and be good at what you do and things would happen. But I think that nowadays you really need to be a little bit more business minded if you want opportunities to come your way. So how can somebody out there who's in the voiceover business, what are some tips maybe you can give them to grab a hold of their business side? You know, a few things that they might be able to do.
Go to as many workshops as you can go to, because in those workshops you'll talk to other people during that sort of downtime or their rehearsal time. You'll stand outside, you'll hear words. I'll go back to one of my early days when I was going to radio school to get my first class license for radio, something that's not needed today, but was then. And fellas would talk about, a couple of guys had already been on the air.
Yeah.
And they would say, I'd come out of this PSA. And I said, and I think to myself, PSA?
PSA,
the guy's from Colorado. They don't have PSA Airlines in Colorado. I didn't understand PSA stood for Public Service
Announcement. Yeah.
But before I finished that schooling, that 6 or 8 weeks, whatever it was, to get my ticket, I'd understood the vernacular of radio. So when I went to a radio station to apply or sent a note off to a radio station to apply, I would use some of that vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's all learning what happens. I can tell very quickly when I get someone on the phone, they call the Dave and Dave Studios, I immediately know where they are in their learning curve of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it almost instantly.
Yeah.
They use the correct words, you give them a little,
You give them a discount.
A
yeah.
If they don't use the correct lingo,
I send them to Chuck.
They pay double. Yeah, he sends them to me. Oh,
but
my God.
It's you have to think about and mix yourself with those people that are already doing it.
Yeah.
And those people that want to do it. Because there will be a couple of people in your group that are just doing it to eat up time in the day. I mean, I'd rather surround myself with millionaires.
Yeah.
I don't have many. But and in voiceover, I do. I have a lot of voiceover millionaire friends.
Yeah.
And it's nice to surround yourself with those guys or gals because they know the business.
Yeah.
Why do you think, or how did they come about that
the
money?
Hows and whys.
How did that happen? You know?
In most cases, when you make $1 million in the voiceover business, it's not by accident.
That's right.
No, but to always have people that you can emulate and they can push you and you can motivate each other, it's really important.
Absolutely.
It's probably best not to hang around two guys that are hanging around the 7-Eleven on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Hang around people that are successful. Hang around people that are learning their craft.
Yeah.
Hang around workshops, teachers. Go to as many as you can. I was very fortunate during my radio years that it paid for all that.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I now give back to actors so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, literally, we've put together full packages, you know, 100 CDs and such for an actor who was living in his car. He used to sleep out back of the old Dave and Dave.
Yeah.
And now he's a working actor.
Yeah.
And I knew he had chops and had skills. He just had to have that opportunity.
The opportunity,
you know.
Well,
and you're
a sweet
get an
kid,
agent
man.
Without it.
You are
without
a sweet
that
kid.
CD. You know?
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of giving back,
yes.
You have been giving back in many, many ways, but in a truly significant way for 25 years with what we call the Voiceover Bible.
Yes.
The Voiceover Resource Guide.
Well, it
and voiceoverresourceguide.com for our.
I used to put scripture
friends all
in
over
it,
the world that
but
don't have
no
the
longer
hard copy.
Yeah. We want to know how that whole thing started and how it evolved to what it is today.
Let's go back to Bob Lloyd.
Bob Lloyd.
My guru back in the day.
I thought we were going to go back to Don Pitts. I got scared. Yeah.
No, Bob Lloyd, the guy that you made the list with, he offers this and we offer that, right? Yeah.
Bob Lloyd, who you ticked off for 10 years.
Yeah. So I'm in the lobby years earlier or later. I'm not sure what. Yeah. Earlier. I'm in the lobby at Bob Lloyd's, and I had in my back pocket a list of all the offices in town that cast and all the ad agencies and such. I'm finishing an audition, and there's a payphone at Bob Lloyd's. Call the agent. I had a beeper. Back in those days, you had to have a beeper. Call the agent. The agent said, you got an audition at such and such. Do you have the address? And I said, yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I'll see you later. Goodbye, or whatever. And other people, you know, sniffing into my phone call.
Yeah, going like,
of course. They, what's that list you have
there?
Where'd
you get that?
What's that?
Yeah.
So I started making copies and handing it out to people. And I thought, I would go ahead and maybe do something like this.
Oh, a pamphlet.
I'd make this up. Oh, so I made this up, paid for it myself, did 500, 1,000, something like that, over a period of time. The only advertisement on it was for my companies. I was making cassette dubs, of course. And I put the printer. Printer's ad in there. And there were no ads. And for years I did this. And we updated this, you know, I make the calls.
Can
and
I
update.
See that?
Yeah, it has, you know, the SAG rates.
So it had
rates.
The session rates.
Yeah.
Recording studios, all the recording studios in town. Voiceover workshops.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. What a tiny little
agencies.
List back then, right? Agencies and voice casting services.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yep. And then we moved to something like this. Mm-hmm. We went to advertising.
Yes.
Years later, and we took ads. People would place ads.
Yeah.
See the ads?
Yep.
Okay. They would place ads, and then we went to more full color. And this happens to have all of our Vogue covers on
nice,
in the background.
Nice. Yeah, that's a cool cover.
So that's kind of cool for me. That was kind of cool to say, yeah, I think we can fill this sucker up with our covers. That's kind of cool. And then, of course,
the
just about
year.
6 months ago, we hit our 25th year.
Yeah.
And this is the current issue, which I see you have on the table
there
as well. The current issue of the Vogue.
I have never...
And I don't want to make it about us
had,
for a second.
Yeah.
But, you know... this is as close as I'll come to doing a centerfold. We're kind of... Mom and Dad, this is it.
Okay? That's it. That's the deal.
Oh,
right there.
We love it. It's amazing. I have one in my car. I have one in my home studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I always use this.
And I knew we had made it when I'm driving down Sunset Boulevard one day, years ago, and I see hanging from their mirror our Vork. And I'm just thinking... Wow, this is kind of interesting. The guy's hanging, not dice, our Vogue, on his mirror.
Yeah.
I guess it's good.
Yeah.
I guess we've sort of made it.
It's not good, buddy. It's great.
Yeah,
I mean, every time, if I go to an industry function or a big seminar or anything like that, whenever anybody talks about any kind of publication that has to do with voiceover, that's what they mention.
Right. Everywhere I go in the industry,
absolutely.
Every workshop that I, or, you know, I think we've been on a dais or two at SAG or AFTRA. And, of course, that's what they talk about.
Yeah.
Well, and I just want to say for our viewers that are all over the world that can't get the hard copy, voiceoverresourceguide.com,
absolutely.
They can access everything that's in here and then some online.
Yeah. Also online.
Yeah.
We went online about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, and I know that there's also some voiceover resource guide, New York.
Yes, we're very close to expanding to New York, and I have an idea. I've kind of taken an idea from another magazine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into it, but it's.
Yeah.
I think it will show that we're LA, we're bi-coastal, if you will.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Good
it,
idea.
It's going to be terrific.
Well, when you're ready to talk about that, we'll...
we'll have you back.
I think it'll be soon.
When New York comes out.
No, I think it's going to be within the next 6 to 9 months, it will be in print, hopefully.
Beautiful.
I'd like to do, at least in the beginning, a newsstand version for both coasts.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it will always be on the web.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
web we've kind of trickled into. Some of it's on the web for New York. But we need the outskirts, the surrounding areas of New York, because there are a lot of other pockets in the country, and we need Dallas and Atlanta and places like that. Voiceover happens everywhere, and voiceover people now are everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Real good working voiceover actors. they don't have to stay here any longer.
Yeah. Right.
They don't have to be New York or LA, as we know.
Yeah.
Right. We have.
Because?
Because of ISDN, because of Dave and Dave. They connect with us.
There you
and
go.
We're all good.
Exactly.
We're good to go.
Yeah, and home studios all over, all across
everywhere.
America.
Yeah. And we've done easily 100 home studios, and for people, I mean, even today, we were talking to someone about doing his, you know, just helping people out. I want everyone that is hoping to work in the voiceover business to have the knowledge, because as I used to say in my workshops, I know about 6,000, let's say, producers in Los Angeles. I've worked for half of them. I want to work for the other half. And if you go in and screw it up for me working by not knowing something in the voiceover business and they haven't worked with me, they may never work with me because they're afraid of working with people they haven't worked with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They liked and recurring businesses.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Kind. Yes.
And
yes.
It's because education we're good at what we do, but also we're nice people. We're giving. You know, it's.
So speaking of return business, which you have a lot of, thank goodness.
Yes.
When you get copy for a commercial or a promo, what is your process of breaking it down, or what do you go through?
As an actor?
Mm-hmm. Before you are like, okay, I'm ready to record.
That's a good question.
Well, okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, first thing.
He has a good answer, too. And
first thing is you read everything on all sides of whatever piece of paper is handed to you at any audition. All sides. You read everything. If a script's given to you, read it front to back. Mark all things that are your part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of it. Mark it. And the reason I say that is, there I am on the set shooting a newsman. I'm the newsman at the desk, and they're doing the big scene.
This is on camera?
On camera. Mm. They're shooting the big scene in the other office. They come to me for a quick insert. Let's just do Dave now. Boom, here's camera spins around. They've got the Panavision right up my nose. And I'm sitting at the desk and he says, okay, great, action. And so I spiel it off and da, 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 da. And he says, okay, move on to page two. I swear to God, I hadn't seen it. I had not seen it. You have to read everything on the page, everything. Every little thing gives you a clue. Revisions. It's the 19th revision. So don't ask silly questions like, can I move this word around? No, they've beaten this sucker into the ground. You know, they have hurt people working this out.
Exactly.
They have lived with
this. They will kill you.
They have lived with these words. I can't tell you how long they live with the words long before they get to us.
Yeah.
And that's why very often we here as casting, we can't send you copy yet because it's not hammered out yet. No, they've been hammering it for a long. It's so important that the right piece of copy goes out sometimes for them. I think it really isn't important to hear someone read the piece of copy as a casting situation, but it's important to them because they've been beating every word out of this thing. Okay, so the first thing I do is I read everything on the page. And the length, very important.
Yes.
Whether or not there's a tag. And it may say 55 plus 5. So now it says 60, but in some place on the copy it says 55 plus 5. You know you've got a 55.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not doing 60. You don't have 60. Try to do it in their time. Very often overwritten in the beginning for the casting. But then I say read it all to yourself. Without moving your lips, read it all to yourself.
And why without moving your lips?
Because you'll get to that next. You get to intellectualize about the copy next. After you read it all and write down some things like why, who, what, where, when, who am I talking to, why am I convincing them, what's the thrust of this commercial, why are they trying to come from this angle when they could come from this angle, nope, they've chosen this one. So write some little things down and then try to get two pieces of that copy. Particularly, and this used to really come into play when you go to an audition, if you go to an audition house, get two pieces of the copy and write down different things, different direction for yourself on the other piece. So you're not struggling with the same marks and little hieroglyphics over words and underlines and circles on one piece. You have a second piece. Okay, now I'm going to do George Burns, whatever, on that piece of copy. This one, I was doing Zelda Smith. Now I'm doing George Burns doing this piece of copy. So I write George Burns on it, which then I don't have to look at the other piece of copy. Right, right. And George Burns underlines differently. He underlines and circles different words on that page. Then, after you've done all that, and this is all silently,
yeah.
Then kind of intellectualize the piece of copy. Well, I was walking down the street the other day, and I was saying, I was walking down the street the other day. Oh, it's a street. There's a very important street in this piece of copy. I was walking down the street the other day. I was walking down the street the other day. How do I want to say that? Yeah. Okay. And you rehearse it like that, just kind of mumbling to yourself and kind of figuring it all out. Then, okay, I've made my decisions. I've done the extra markings. And that's all that little mumbling with your lips moving. I was walking down the street. And then do it at performance level from then on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And do it at performance level always from then on. If you're in the booth and they give you direction, happens every single time.
Yeah.
To myself included. Every time.
Yeah.
If they give you direction, be sure to take that direction and rehearse it just a little bit. You don't have to rehearse it on mic. Rehearse it this far off. They know you're rehearsing. They love rehearsal. Trust me, they do, because they know when you come back on, you're not going to be rehearsing on mic. You rehearsed over here. You're going to be performing on mic. So perform on mic. Rehearse off mic. Just step off. They know if you move off mic this far, you're way off mic.
Yeah.
So they know you're off mic.
Yeah.
So at that point, you step back after you've rehearsed it. They will give you a line read sometimes. You need to hear that line read come out of your mouth at performance level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't do this. I'm like, oh,
for people that may not know what a line read is, Dave, what is a line read?
A line read is the director will say, I'd like it read like this. She was walking down the street the other day. Okay, great. Don't say okay, great.
Right.
Do it.
Right.
Do it because okay, great is, I'm good, aren't I?
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
90% of the time, you can't do it. You're going to rehearse it in that next live take.
Yeah.
And as you're approaching that area where she was walking down the street the other day, as you're approaching that area in the copy, you're going to start thinking about how he said it to you or she, and
it's too late.
You've screwed the pooch. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah.
You've messed up the copy because you're not now in touch and in focus on that copy.
Yeah.
So rehearse it off mic once, just once anyway. And if it's not right, rehearse it three times until you're comfortable with it.
Yeah.
They'll allow you to do that. Then move back on mic or on camera to do it. When I used to go out for auditions on camera, if I didn't like my take, I'd fall to the floor.
Yeah.
They'd have to burn that take. They couldn't send that to a client. Oh, no, God, I'd just fall out of frame. I'd fall out of frame. If I hated my take, I'd buy it. I'd hit the camera. I'd walk right up to the camera and do this. Yeah, why not? They're never going to send that.
Yeah.
You don't want them to send it?
No.
Crap on it. Just bury it.
Yeah.
You know, not enough people.
That's the motto today. If you don't like it, crap on it.
There you go.
Not enough people, they don't feel strong enough about their good work that's all they want to leave behind.
Yeah.
They're afraid. Don't be afraid in there. It's your room.
So, Dave.
Yes.
You have seen quite an evolution of change in the business. What changes are you really excited about, and what are some that you think are maybe not the best?
You have to have an opinion.
Well, the most important thing to me is, as an actor, I want to talk to the guy and shake hands with and have that person direct me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not be in my studio alone, away from my agents who could direct me as well. I'd like that one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's when I personally did better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some of what I do now, I'm my own worst coach.
Is self-directing difficult for you?
Yeah, it's always difficult.
Yeah.
And particularly since I have the wherewithal to run the equipment as well, from time to time, we have other things going on in the studios, and I'll just jump into a room, I'll hit play and record, like a lot of guys have to do and gals have to do now at home, because many agents don't allow them to come to the agent's office. and running, and I'm the engineer and the thing, and and I'm cutting in my head, I'm editing, I'm thinking, well, I'll go with that take, and I'll, okay, now take two. You know, I'm starting to think of all those things when I should just walk in and just do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you miss the human interaction with your agents and directors.
I miss that tremendously. That's the biggest missing cog, if you will, in this industry.
I would agree with that, definitely.
It's very uncomfortable to be away from people.
Yeah.
It's lovely when you finally get a job and you get to actually talk to someone.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
Exactly.
Even now... they're at some distance.
Yeah, they're on a phone or something.
Yeah, very often.
No, but I mean, we're performers, and it's nice to have an audience.
Yeah.
You know, it's I like it.
Yeah. What are some changes that you actually like? Improvements, if any.
Oh, I think some of the some of the technical part is wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond wonderful. What we can do now. I used to walk around with a razor blade, you know, the single-sided razor blade, in my mouth all day long. I mean, strangely, I'd walk around with that at the radio station because I'd be cutting.
You'd be slicing tape.
And I'd have tape around my head, you know. The technical part of it is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful that we can do so many things so quickly.
Yeah.
It gives us, you know, when I transitioned from reel to reel, let's say,
in
teaching
just that
workshops,
right there.
Yeah. Teaching the workshop and recording people and recording people's demos, when I transitioned from that and trying to sell my services to the DAWs, digital audio workstations, when I transferred to that, now it's all on straight up a computer, but when I transferred to that, I thought, how I can do so many things so fast.
Yeah.
How can I charge? How can I make any money at
this?
Yeah,
it's like,
but the fact
take
is,
2 minutes.
You have more choices over here. You've had more bells and whistles, more things to play with.
Yeah.
So that helped our business.
Exactly.
You know, the studio business. That, I think, is a wonderful thing that's happened.
It really is, man.
I don't envy the actor that doesn't get it. See, I grew up with it, being a musician and working at radio stations. I grew up in that sort of understanding the path of audio and things of that nature. Not the best at it, but I understand it to some degree.
Yeah.
I can always figure out a workaround if it's not working for me.
Yeah.
But the poor folks, the actors that want to be actors and only actors, to have to do that from home, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough on them.
I know. Well, even Stacey, when she's going to do something that she feels, you know, really is important or something like that, she'll be like, honey, be like, you want me to direct you on this? He's like,
well,
please.
I like it.
But the thing is
that's why why Dave and Dave offers $5 auditions.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
but
if you
at
live
midnight,
in...
you're not open.
Yeah.
You
that's
work
true. You're not
that.
Open at midnight, Dave. That's the only flaw that you have going on. You have 24-hour service, and then you'll be freaking...
I know. Sometimes it's like 11
I'm
or 12 o'clock.
Hey, let's have a little cheers here. Hey,
salud.
Here's to you and your
business and your beautiful wife.
Here's
to me winning the lottery, like I talked about,
and
keeping it open 24/7.
I know.
And and keeping Cafe Dave full of Twinkies as well.
Get down. Woo!
Okay, Dave, what are you...
For free.
What are you most grateful for in your life at this point, where you are today?
And you can take 20 seconds to
think
about it.
I think my health.
Your health. Okay. Well, we need that.
You know, I have a lot of friends that, and very talented friends that didn't live as long as that I have lived. And some that have lived longer and that have taught me a lot of things in their senior years. But I think the most important thing is our health. And we have to somewhat focus on that and know our own bodies and know what we can do and what we can't do and take care of ourselves that way.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
It's a really important thing. And you know what? My most important thing, but I have to say this. I've been in the voiceover business not as long as you have, but for over 20 years. And I have to say that what you have done and your wife and what you guys have brought in with Dave and Dave Recording Studios and with the Voiceover Resource Guide, you have literally made my life so much easier and so many other people's that I have to just thank you. And give you a big handshake for doing that, man.
It is it's a work of love.
Yes.
There's no question about it. That's the philosophy where it started. I wanted to help other people. And people forced me into taking advertising, literally forced me into it. Mm-hmm. They just kept calling saying, I've got to advertise in there.
Yeah.
I've got to advertise. No, it's a free listing. No, I have to advertise.
Yeah.
You know, so eventually it moved to full color, and we're going to try to keep that. And,
yeah.
It's an expensive venture, but
yeah,
it fills that void for those actors. I've often said in a sliding, deprecating sort of way, it's the best keep away from me tool in the business. You know, what about voiceover? Here, keep away from me. As some would say, I don't want any more people in the voiceover business.
Yeah.
There's not enough work to go around for all of us right now. There's a lot of work, way more than there was 25 years ago.
Sure.
Way more work.
Yeah.
And we just don't need many more actors. But it's a cottage industry, our voiceover guide is.
Yeah.
It's created an industry unto itself. And it's actually moved our industry up in the whole genre of acting. And, being a disc jockey, it was like the lowest rung on the, entertainment, but voiceover was non-existent.
Yeah.
Now voiceover's up there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's up there with
every
actors.
Celebrity wants to do voiceover.
Yeah, no question about it.
You know,
they
it's
want
like
to.
It's like the cool thing to do.
And they probably should do voiceover, except, taking my jobs.
Yeah. I think that celebrities should only do voiceover when it comes to on camera.
Yeah.
But if it's just voice, they should leave it to a voice actor. That's my theory.
That's right. But we know why they trot out, excuse the expression, the celebrity for their conventions and for different events, maybe a golf event or something of that nature. They'll bring the celebrity out as well and treat the celebrity as they should be treated, like a celebrity. But they use them to then sell more widgets. I get to take a picture with the celebrity, and then I go back to Des Moines and I will sell more widgets. Or we'll tell another guy in the office, hey, look, my picture, you could sell more widgets. You could go meet Sir Lancelot, whoever, I'm not very good with names,
But I like the names that you come
current,
up with.
It's a very current reference.
They're freaking awesome.
Matt Damon, Sir Lancelot. Yeah. Very good, Dave.
Oh, my God.
You're on the pulse, baby. You're on the pulse.
Herschel Fornark is one of my favorite names.
Herschel Fornark?
Herschel Fornark. Yeah, married to Gretchen Prunes.
Gretchen Prunes.
Now, these are stolen from different people. Gretchen Prunes. And the twins, Murine and Visine.
Murine and Visine.
Yeah, the twins.
Oh,
yeah.
I love you, okay. Dave.
Oh,
I love
right. you. Yeah, I know.
Are we done?
We're done.
Thank you for coming on VO Buzz
it's a
Weekly.
Pleasure. My
I
pleasure.
Love you to death.
It's so
I
wonderful
know.
To be here. It's very intimate in this room.
It is.
With the
it's
two
nice
of you.
And chilly
well,
and very cozy.
VO Buzz Weekly and the voice of a resource guide, boom, you're
That's
covered.
That's it. We're done.
Hi, this is Dave Sebastian Williams from Dave and Dave, and I just got buzzed, and I mean it. This is VO. Buzzed with Chuck and Stacy, and I'm loving it. And I hope you learned something. And I hope you enjoyed the moment. Thanks for coming by. Really. No.
Well, that's all we have for you today. We hope you guys have had a good time here meeting our friend Dave Sebastian Williams. Be back next week for another great episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
And in between then, keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VO Buzz Weekly. You guys take care until next time, and just remember, you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's Demos That Rock. The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you. Visit DemosThatRock.com and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.